Merry Christmas, everyone. Welcome back to Crossroads. Wanted to welcome everyone today and explain a little bit about what we're doing, something a little bit different this weekend at Crossroads. We've been in this series, The Not-So-Big Christmas, where during the month of December, we've been looking at the fact that in a lot of ways, our Christmas has kind of gotten beyond us and out of hand in a lot of ways that really don't contribute to our season, taking a look about what could a not-so-big Christmas look like for us in a healthy way. And so we've looked at these concepts of reducing, reclaiming, and regifting. And this last week of the series, we're going to take a look at reflecting. And there's a couple things that we want to accomplish this weekend. First of all is, you'll notice one thing that's different, those of you that have kids, is that we've invited you to bring them in to the auditorium this morning. That we've wanted to take this weekend and give as many people who regularly serve as Crossroads as possible the weekend off. People who are back there in Kids Club and other places every single weekend of the year, or a lot of weekends of the year, give them this weekend off to kind of apply some of this not-so-big Christmas and spend a little bit more time with their families. So we've also gotten a lot of requests from parents who said, you know, my kids have been home a week from school, come to church. It feels really weird to part with them. I really want to spend even more time with them if I possibly can. So please, please don't take them away from me. Let me bring them in. So, no, but we are trying to really give people a chance to reduce a little bit and just kind of relax a little bit this weekend. And then also what we're going to be doing is applying this concept of reflecting. We're going to spend the service and we're going to review some of the main concepts that we've talked about during this series. And then also, and this is the most important part of the day, we're going to have time for us to come up here. Actually, we've got two open mics today and actually reflect on this season as well. There'll be times, and you don't have to fit within that exact topic, but there will be times that will open up three different times, one on reducing, one on reclaiming traditions, and one on regifting, that will open up the mics. And if you have something you want to share about, maybe just something you were thankful for during this holiday season, or maybe it was something that you learned or something that you're wrestling with as it applies to Christmas and this time of the year, that's what these mics are going to be for. And there's an important principle behind this. Most of the weekends you come in here, either Brian or I are up here talking and applying what we've learned from God's Word to all our lives. But there's also a concept here, you know, we've talked about here a lot, the priesthood of all believers, of the fact that we can be teachers and challengers to each other. So we want to open it up so that everybody in the community here is a teacher here this morning, and we can share and learn from each other's experiences. So if you want to be thinking right now just about maybe something you learned while we've been in this series, something that was maybe a little bit different for you during this Christmas season than others, or just something that you're thankful for as you reflect back on this Christmas season, you're going to have times to do that. So if you would please, if you go ahead and stand with me, I'll open us in prayer. God, we thank you for a chance to reflect. So often, even here at Crossroads, we're running from week to week and we're talking about something and then figuring out how we can apply it to our life. And so often the most important thing is that we sit back and we reflect on what we have learned or what we haven't learned, but we've at least heard. I ask that this weekend would be one of reflecting for all of us, and you would help us to be able to find an even more profound place of closing out this Christmas season with your truth and truth that actually changes us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our first weekend of December, we kicked off this not-so-big Christmas series by talking about the concept of reducing. And I know for some folks, it was kind of a controversial weekend because some people after saying, what, you're saying that, you know, I love Christmas time. You're saying that I need to cut out some of the stuff that I absolutely love. And, you know, for me, for instance, I am not one of those people who kind of whine about Christmas every year or don't look forward to it. I absolutely love Christmas and I love almost everything about it. What we were talking about, though, was the idea that there are a lot of things that we've kind of, through osmosis, incorporated into the month of December that really don't do anything to add to our appreciation of Christmas or add to our time together as family and friends, but are emotions that we're going through. And we get caught into these things that actually add more stress to the season than anything. And we end up finding ourselves, spending a lot of time sending Christmas cards out to people we couldn't even pick out of a police lineup, you know, if we had to. And all this, you know, kind of stuff that we fall into. Not that any of that is necessarily bad, but taking a chance to step back and saying, where can I strategically reduce in order to actually increase the impact of this holiday season on my family and I? Let's take a look at just a little bit of a clip from that first weekend.
We will get stressed. We will get trampled by this holiday season one way or another unless we really take control of our Christmas. I'll tell you. you want God to govern you, God will tell you very clearly there's some things that you need to reduce. Some of us, you need to reduce your expectations. You have way overblown expectations of what Christmas should mean to you. For some of us, we need to reduce our spending. We need to reduce it. God has significant thoughts about how much you should not be spending this Christmas. Some of us, God would say to us, and you're going to love this one, reduce the amount of time with your relatives. For some of us, not all of us, for some of us, reduce the time with your relatives. Because that brings a level of stress that's keeping you from really building into the relationships that are ultimately at the core of your life. You have to continually be saying, man, what can I reduce in my life? How can I open up space in my life so that God can have his way with me? When God governs you, what comes to you is peace. This isn't a Christmas thing. This is a life thing. It's a life thing.
Well, I want to take a chance here and just open up these mics. If anybody has had some way you've reduced or felt challenged to reduce or something in that area you're thankful for during this season, right now, you know, just come on up. But I, you know, as last night I was reflecting on reducing, and I realized how much of a challenge this can be, that just kind of everything in this season is kind of stacked against us if we're going to reduce. And I even thought about, like, at Crossroads. I don't know if anybody else appreciated the irony. Did anybody see these not so big little Christmas cards we had out at the info center you could grab, that it had kind of the theme of the not so big Christmas on it, and then on the back it had our service times for our Christmas Eve services? And I actually designed this series, the not so big Christmas, but I never imagined that they would actually put in the Christmas Eve services on the back of a card and put it together. And it was interesting. It was the not so big Christmas services at 1:15, 2:30, 3:45, 5 o'clock, 6:15, and 7:30. I was like, wow. So apparently we do not so big, bigger than almost anyone. You know, and then a lot of times, you know, you come in here and even look at the stage and, you know, this is the not so big Christmas, you know, all of this. And I find this playing out in my life as well, as our kids have gotten a little bit older. They're 5 and 8 now. Seems to be an even more challenge every year to kind of keep this whole season kind of in balance. And the temptation to just want to make it bigger, want to make it better as your kids get older is huge. And so we tried to get an early run at it this year. And so, you know, right about, you know, around Thanksgiving, started talking to my kids about, hey, you know, let's talk about, you know, what Christmas is going to be this year. And just wanted to let you know, obviously, Christmas, these things aren't bad, but Christmas is so much more than what you're seeing on TV. It's even, you know, so much more than spending time with your family and things like that. You know, the deeper meaning of Christmas and Jesus coming. And I felt this was getting through to them in a pretty good way. And so about 2 weeks before Christmas, I came into the living room, and my daughter Grace, who's 5, came running up to me, and she said, Dad, I've realized there's something even better than Mom and Dad. And I thought, wow, you know what, wonder what this is, but that's pretty good. I mean, she's picking up on this whole thing of what Christmas, you know, is really about. And quick study at 5 years old, I'm, you know, seeing my family's influence on her, you know, and from my side of the family, really kind of playing out here. And she said, Dad, I realize there's something even better than Mom and Dad. And then she leans over and whispers, and it's not God and Jesus, it's toys. Oh, all right. Okay. Not my side of the family after all, I guess. I think that was after her, like, 47th Go-Go the Walking Pup commercial she'd been exposed to. But so I explained to her, you know, and we talked about it, we're going to kind of scale down this Christmas. We're going to do less things, all of that. And I think we might, for a 5-year-old, we might have scaled it back a little bit too much, because one of her ongoing comments to me over the last week was, Dad, I'm bored. You know, Dad, I'm bored. And a couple days ago, I actually came in the room and found her. She was standing in front of the TV. It was Barney's Christmas video was on. She was standing in front of the TV and she was doing this. What are you doing? She said, I'm going in. I'm going in. She was trying to jump into Barney's world, because apparently what was happening out in our Christmas world wasn't. She was actually trying to jump into the television. So, well, after we talked about reducing, the second week, we talked about reclaiming. And this was an idea that there's a lot of traditions during the Christmas season, and for a lot of us, most of them kind of blow right past us, or we blow right past them, and don't even really, you know, kind of appreciate what they mean or understand any meaning that's in them. They just be kind of motions we go through, or motions, you know, that kind of happen around us. And Brian talked that week about the idea of reclaiming traditions, really taking a look at what kind of motions we're going through during the Christmas. Christmas season. And if something has no meaning to us, either cutting it out or reclaiming it, finding a way to reclaim and understand the meaning behind some of these traditions and find a way we can apply them to our lives and our family and our friends in a meaningful way during the Christmas season. Let's take a look at a little clip when we talked about reclaiming.
Traditions are triggers to treasures. In Luke 2:19, at the close of the original Christmas story, it has this great line that talks about what's going on in Mary's heart. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. If you were into tradition, just tradition for tradition's sake, you're probably into religion. And if you're into religion and into tradition, you probably don't have much of God's government in your life. Friends, there is a reason why there's all these Christmassy things that are flowing in our society. It's because Jesus really lived about 2,000 years ago. There's a reason why we mark our calendars by AD. It's because there's a person who lived a life like none other. There's a reason why we have endless Christmas traditions. I just mentioned a few of them. There's a reason why they go on and on and on and on and on. Because Jesus' life goes on and on and on and on. So over the next couple weeks, I encourage you, when you see a wreath, allow it to trigger a mental process. When you see red, when you see green, allow it to trigger a process. What you'll find is you may find that there's a treasure that you gain that you never imagined you could gain.
So we'd really like to take this chance and have you guys share about maybe traditions, Christmas traditions. Maybe you have found a way to reclaim or some that you just implemented again this year that really have a lot of meaning to you. Or maybe there's triggers that you found that you needed to identify what was triggering that feeling during the season. Whatever that would be, a tradition you've reclaimed or one that you're really thankful for. We want to open up that time and just share that. So while I'm talking, you know, please come on up. Don't wait for me to stop here. There's one in particular that Brian talked about that, Nancy and I started doing with our kids several years ago. I don't know, it's been about 4 years or so. And that weekend, Brian actually talked about this. He talked about the Advent book. He has a little bit different version of it, but the Advent book. And this, for me, is a tradition we have reclaimed kind of in my family. When I grew up, we talked about Christmas a lot and celebrated it and understood kind of the meaning and all that. But really, the term Advent was always a bit of a mystery to me. And I'd start to hear from kind of more traditional churches. They would talk about the Advent season. I didn't really understand what that was. And about 5 years ago, I was really decided to research that and come to grips with that. I realized that Advent just means kind of expectation or waiting, and that the concept of the Advent season is a concept that the church implemented years and years and years ago so that December would be an expectation building up to the celebration of Christ's birth, and that there would be a gradual unraveling of the story of, you know, love with skin on it coming down to live with us in the form of Jesus Christ, that the weeks would unfold this story. And so that's what Advent was about. So as I was researching it, this ended up being probably, I thought, the most helpful resource I stumbled on for, you know, just kind of encapsulating what the Advent season was. And what it is, Brian talked about it a little bit a couple weekends ago, but it's 25 pages. And each page is a separate door. And the door kind of pops open, and then there's a little painting under the door. And there's part of the story of Christ's birth that unfolds there. And you open one door every day, and over 25 days, you know, you gradually get to Christmas. And then on the last day, the final part of the Christmas story is kind of unfolded for you. And we have found this to be a great way. I'd really encourage you, if you have young kids, that our kids now, they get so excited about this, that every day of December, that night before they go to bed, they get to open one of the doors. And I think that in the ultimate application of the message that Jesus brought to us, they actually fight over who gets to open the door, you know, on any given night. So that's always a special time as well.
My name is Tom. I have a little daughter that is 3 and a half, and the whole reduce, recycle, reuse themes for the holidays, I think it's impacted me with implementing new traditions with my daughter. I know a lot of us, as we get older, find that it's difficult to change habits of calming things down and keeping Christmas simple. But I think it's really impacted me in instilling the real purpose of Christmas, the real meaning of Christmas, with my daughter. And one of the a story that kind of impacted me, it's once we get into Thanksgiving, you know, all the commercials for toys for kids, my daughter started saying, you know, Daddy, I really want that. Everything that came on commercial, Daddy, I want that. Pretty Little Pony, Barbie, I really want that. And so I started doing the trick of, well, we need to put that on your Christmas list, honey. So we were sitting in the evening watching television one night, and she saw a commercial for something. And she said, "Daddy, I really want that." And she looked over at me, and I looked back at her. And before I say anything, she goes, "Oh, that's right. I got to put that on my Christmas list." And then she resumed watching television. And then she turned back to me and goes, "Daddy, my list is getting really big." And it really kind of impacted me, the marketing, the commercialization that kids see. And the whole reduce, keep it simple Christmas really kind of impacted me, in that we really discussed what Christmas is, that, you know, we would talk about Santa Claus, but then we would make sure we talked about the, you know, the underlying celebration of Christmas. So it impacted me.
Thanks. Yeah, we got into that with our kids as well. It started to, excellent. Trying to get them to differentiate. This is a great time of year to differentiate between needs and wants. And so my daughter ended up, that just evolved into, "I need that because I want that. I need that because I want that," was her answer. If you'd share your name first.
Yeah, I'm Amy. And I think mine falls under reduce, but I didn't come up first because no one was coming up. But 4 years ago, on the 22nd of December, my son was born. And then 7 days later, my husband walked out. And so every year at Christmas, it's just a hard time for that. And when Brian this year talked about, if Christmas doesn't meet your expectations, that's more like what the real Christmas was, that really hit me. And it just really made me reduce that and realize that that's how it was the first Christmas, that people were disappointed and a little bit let down by a baby rather than a king coming. And so that's just really helped me this season, made a difference.
Thank you.
My name's Shirley Chesterman, and got a cold, so. Anyway, a couple of years ago, my husband and I decided that we needed to do something to release our family from family time together, particularly at Christmas, that puts so much stress on all of our kids. We're here in Cincinnati. We have 2 kids on the West Coast, 2 kids on the East Coast. And we realized that Christmas time was just so chaotic, trying to get everybody together, weather, traveling, all the things that go with it, trying to get grandkids, you know, all free. There's 18 of us when we all get together, so it's a big job. But we decided we were going to release them all and let them stay home for Christmas, and that we were not going to do Christmas together anymore as a group. But our home was always welcome. You know, it's always open. If one of the kids want to come home, it's okay. But it's worked out okay. And I think the kids have all been really, for the first time, being able to start their own traditions at home as a family rather than feeling they have to come. And we've decided to get together at other times during the year. Last year we met at Myrtle Beach, and all 18 of us got together. And it was really great not to have the Christmas in the middle of that. We really enjoyed each other. There wasn't any shopping. There wasn't anything other than just pure fun that we had to think about. And this year, it was just my husband and I at home. And the kids all call and say, are you sad? Are you sad? And we're saying, no, we're not sad. I didn't even cook Christmas dinner until we went out for the afternoon. We actually went to a movie and had popcorn, and we came home and said, I'm not hungry, are you? And he said, no. So I didn't cook it until the 26th. And it was really okay. And I think our kids have all appreciated our being willing to let them go.
Thanks. That's great.
I wanted to thank God for not only this holiday, the angel tree this year, how we deliver gifts to unfortunate families that don't have their mother or father who's in prison. And I wanted to also show what the Christmas time meant for me is. It's not what you get. It's the gift from your heart, and your heart that you give to others is what the meaning of Christmas is to me. And since I've been through a lot this year. And I thank God for keeping my cousin Mark alive until after Christmas. And just the birth of Christ itself and the love that this church has for all of us and the love I have for all you people. And I just want everybody to know, just do it from your heart like God taught me and just keep raising the roof. Amen.
Thanks, man.
Scott, by the way.
Thanks, Scott. And if you want to come up, you want to share your name first, that'd be cool.
My name's Bob Gefford. Before I start, I should tell you this. All the credit goes to my wife for this, just so you know who thought of this idea. Like most families, about 10 years ago, we decided to just exchange, to draw names and exchange gifts one-on-one with adults. Most of us at that age were in our late 20s, and we decided we had more than we needed. But about 3 or 4 months ago, my wife came to me with an idea that I had been brewing on for, actually since last Christmas, and she said, why don't we not exchange gifts at all among the adults? And immediately, my stress level dropped. And I don't know if I'm like some of the people out there, but this is a very busy season for me, and usually the time that I have to start shopping for Christmas presents is about January 2nd. So when my wife said that, immediately I went, oh, that's a great idea. And I'm not advocating that for other families, but our family has most of the adults in our family are in their 30s and 40s. We have way more than we need. And it was interesting that a couple months later when Brian was talking about reduce, that it played very much in line with my wife's idea. So that's one of the things we did this Christmas, and I think the end result of it was what ended up happening is we all bought for other adults, but it wasn't a coerced purchase because nobody had any expectations for buying things, and with the gifts that we got, we really appreciated.
Thanks, man. Go ahead. We'll just go back and forth, so I'll go over here and then we'll...
I wanted to say, actually, I don't celebrate any holidays right now. My family, we're into economic recovery and spirituality, especially this year. And I was especially grateful that Brian was talking about reducing at Christmas and really finding out what it's really all about and not putting this big thing on giving gifts and things like that, because it's a lot more things that you can give. It's like more attention to your families, reducing the amount of stress in your families because of other things that could be financial and things like that. So I just want to give graces to God and Jesus for that, and thank Brian for talking about reducing this year. I don't know if I'll ever celebrate again. I can find some other things to do, and I do like Christmas. He gave a valuable point about looking at a tree maybe and having it trigger some other things. I don't think Christmas is so bad. I don't think celebrating holidays is so bad, but I really want to celebrate spirituality a lot more. Thank you. My name is Paul.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, and you know... it's not that any of this stuff is, I mean, Christmas is an awesome time. I love giving gifts, you know, the tree, all that. It's the thing of just making sure you're being thoughtful about what you're doing, and what you're doing has a purpose and has a meaning, and not getting caught into things that don't have any meaning except for the stress, you know, that it has on you. So, and for all of us, the choices are going to be different. It's not that anybody, there's a template of here's how you approach this season. You have to find about what works of, finding the healthy place for you guys here. Yeah. Come on up.
Hi, I'm Lois Negri. This year I want to be really thankful because my family, it just feels like we've always been focusing on the gift exchange and getting lots of gifts. And this year I just feel like we've really been focused on Jesus and the real meaning of Christmas. And our family has kind of reduced some of the gifts and stuff because a lot of it's unnecessary, just, you know, stuff that we really don't need. So I just want to be thankful for that.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Nikki. Any Lord of the Rings fans out there? Yay! Okay, good. You know the end scene in Return of the King where Frodo does not want to throw the ring in? Oh, you've read the books? Okay. But, right? We've all read them before we go see the movie. But at the end, he does not want to throw the ring into the fire, and it takes an outside source for him to do that. Sorry, don't want to ruin it for you. But it takes an outside source, and so this is what I felt like with my Christmas. I wanted to reduce, but I didn't know quite how to, and I wanted to focus on family, but I didn't know quite how to get to that point where it's a strong focus on just the family, and I also wanted to focus on me and what my needs were and spiritually how I would develop, and so it seemed like God just sort of forced the situation. My son turned 10 on the 26th, and I've spent every Christmas with him. And this year, he spent it with his father, and so I didn't spend either his birthday or Christmas with him, and that was just difficult, very difficult. You come to Christmas Eve service, and children are gathered on the platform, and, you know, they're running around with their parents, and I'm sitting here just weeping. And then you go to the mall, and you go Christmas shopping, and you see happy families gathered around, and I'm just walking forlornly and dejectedly through the mall, and I'm weeping. And then, so I thought, well, I'll go to my family's house, and that's great. And everybody was sick, and they all had the flu. And so I drove back from Cleveland, weeping, dejected. And so I guess what I realized is that what it comes down to is it's me and it's God, and it's what I learn, and that's a great way to reduce, where you're just faced with you, and you don't have any of those other things that you are accustomed to dealing with the holidays, whether they be symbolic or whether they be, well, we got the gifts, but whether it be, you know, any family, you know, it comes down to you and it comes down to God, and how well do you feel supported in your relationship with God. So that's really what I learned this holiday season without all of the extras that I'm so accustomed to.
Thanks. So. And, you know, we just for all you fans out there, we promise that during the rest of the service, I will not reveal the surprise ending to Elf, okay? So don't get – I'll leave it. If you've read the book, you already know it anyway.
Good morning, everyone. My name is John Walker. I came to the Lord August of last year. And reflecting, as you said, over the past year – and seeing the blessings that the Lord has given me. You know, I mean, yeah, Christmas, a lot of people worry about getting gifts and, well, such and such gave me this last year. I need to get something bigger and better, when they should, in my opinion, be thinking about the fun they've had with this person this past year. Things like that. It's taken a long time for me to come to the Lord. And I've had to have some butt kickings from him in order to...
Theologically speaking.
Yeah.
Butt kickings. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, it's easier to talk to you. Than your story in a minute things. A couple weeks after I was... got saved. I wound up having a dream, and this dream came true. I did a story in a minute thing on it. Y'all might want to play that for these people sometime. And it's all documented. It's all true. Where am I going with this? Just reflect on your blessings. I mean, I got engaged this past summer. I now have a 7-year-old daughter who I love dearly. I have a 14-year-old son that loves to do things with me. Reflect.
Thank you. Morning.
Good morning. My name is Julie Andre. And after the service with Brian telling us about reducing our Christmas, my husband and I discussed all the wonderful things that we have. Both of us are retired. Our sons are in their 40s and have very, very busy lives. And one of the things that seems to be most difficult is the sharing our gift of time. Presents are one thing you can go and buy, but the time that they share with us and we share with our grandchildren and sons is even more precious and more hard to come by, as they are still struggling up the ladder, doing things with the kids, sports, working, teaching. So this year we decided we wanted to give a gift of time and of sharing for our family. So what we did, we asked for an afternoon to give us a date, and they did, which was yesterday. At 1 o'clock, we all went to lunch, and after lunch, we all went to the movies. And yes, some of them went to see Lord of the Rings, whatever. But since I'm not a Lord of the Rings fan, I went to see Something's Gotta Give, and if you haven't seen it, it's absolutely wonderful. It's hysterical. And then after that, we were going to go skating, but unfortunately, it was 7:30, and guess what? The grandkids were hungry again. So we went home to my house, and we ate and played games. It's one of the best Christmases we have had because we played with each other, with time, no pressure, no gifts, just sharing time and love with one another. Thank you.
Thanks. Man, I think that's pretty rich because I think it's hard for a lot of us our age to comprehend once your kids you know get older and they moved away and you start to have grandkids and all that, that you really, part of the tradition is you really want everyone to be together. And for someone to be as mature as that and say, you know what, maybe the best way that I serve my family is to release them during that time. I mean, that's a pretty sacrificial thing for a mom and a grandmother to do. So I think that's pretty cool. You know, it's in anyone else, you know, pills. Feel free to come up. Don't let me stop you. We had a new mom last night who actually didn't get up to the mic in time at the end because we ran out of time. But she came up to me afterwards and she talked about a key place she had to get to this season was that she had a brand new baby. And I think it was the first grandchild or the first granddaughter in the family. And so that everybody wanted them. Everyone wanted to see the baby at Christmas. Wanted them to travel here and there. And they had to really kind of draw a boundary line in the sand this year at Christmas. Say, you know what? We can't be traveling. We're going to do like one thing. And then if somebody wants to come here to see us, you know, that's fine. And that the guilt, the amount of guilt and stress that she went through in making that decision, but how the end result was that she had more breathing time during this Christmas season than she'd ever had before. And what ended up happening in that downtime was she really wrestled with some baggage that she had toward her family and worked to a place of forgiveness toward them that she never would have got to had she been, you know, kind of running around and doing all kind of the normal things. But it came out of her having to draw a healthy boundary line in the sand and saying, you know, what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. And a couple of years ago, we looked at this at Crossroads going into the holiday season. We looked at this this concept of boundaries and the idea that a lot of us get a lot of stress and even resentment during the holiday season because of how we're being pushed and pulled by all these different ways, because we haven't drawn healthy boundaries. And there's this concept, and during that time, I remember my neighbor, it was my neighbor at the time, he was a lawyer, and he was coming to Crossroads, and we talked about the law of adverse possession. And the law of adverse possession is, let's say you move next door to somebody, and the boundary line's not quite clear between your property and theirs, and they build a fence, and they build it over on your property, maybe 10 feet or so. If you don't say anything about that, if you don't protest it, if you don't talk to them about that, if you don't notify them, after some extended period of time, and I think it can vary, maybe it's 50 years or whatever that it is, you have no rights to that property anymore. It's the law of adverse possession. Because you did not protest it when they violated your boundary line, and so many years have gone by, you now have lost your rights to the property, and they haven't. I think the same thing happens in our families and with our friends at this time of the season. Over and over again, we don't say anything. We don't pursue any healthy conversation about what we can and can't do during the season. And over time, they've built their fences over our boundaries. We start to resent that. We have no rights to that anymore. It's our fault. It's not theirs because we didn't talk about it. This last weekend before this, we talked about re-gifting. And Brian talked about, you know, there's this idea, you know, that we've come to know this term of regifting, which is when we get something and we don't really like it or we don't really want it and we find a way, you know, without opening it or whatever, to wrap it up and give it to somebody else. You know, it's kind of regifting, recycling a gift. And that's how we think about regifting. But he talked about the idea of actually regifting being giving something away that actually is our something that we really value. And he talked about regifting the most valuable gift he ever received, which is his relationship with Jesus Christ. Take a little bit look here real quick at how we looked at it last weekend.
Priests represented people like you and I. Where they would really do their work was in the inner temple in the Holy of Holies. He was in there behind a very, very thick curtain. This was because they were reminded that there was a massive separation between God and people, a huge separation. And all the things that he wore reminded them of different things. He would have down at the edge of his garment, wrapped around the edge of his garment, he would have pomegranates and bells. And as he would walk into the Holy of Holies and walk around in there, the people would listen for the bells. There's the giving of the gift, and then there's the receiving of the gift. Just because I give you a gift doesn't mean that you receive it. And if that is you today, if you received for the first time, I'd encourage you to do a few things. One, you probably know somebody that you've been around them and you go, something's different about you. And now you know, you've heard the bells. You've heard the bells. And I encourage you to go to that person and say, man, I just started this whole thing. And can you help me understand this? I'd love to just debrief my experience with you. Just experience now. Expect as you leave this place, expect changes to happen. Expect mind shift to be happening because the priest is walking around inside of you and you're going to start to hear things and sense things that you didn't hear and sense before because internally there's a relationship and he's going to be moving through the totality of your life.
And Brian talked about, bells being a tradition during the holiday season and that there's a lot of different kind of meanings behind those for people. But, you know, when we really look at the Bible, the bells really go back to, and we handed out all those bells last weekend, the bells really go back to the time when the nation of Israel, they couldn't go before God themselves. They could not, there was not this thing of grace that had been poured out in the world through Jesus Christ. They had to go through this intermediary who was the high priest, who is their intermediary between them and God. And the high priest in the get up that he would wear, and that's a seminary word there, get up, you know, if you had the learning I did, you would. But at the bottom of the hem of his robe would be these pomegranates and these bells attached to it that would all be tied to it, and that they would be able to hear those bells ringing when the priest would enter once a year into the Holy of Holies and interact with God on their behalf, or when he would be bringing the sacrifice forward for them, and that when they heard those bells ringing, they knew that somebody was interacting with the Creator of the universe on their behalf. And that's what those bells would signify for them when they heard them. But now, what's happened is, you notice I don't have any robe. You know, Brian doesn't have any robe. We don't have any bells on the bottom of our garments, anything like that, because that priest is not necessary anymore in an earthly form because of Jesus Christ having come to earth, and this thing of grace has torn apart that need for an intermediary between us and God. We can come straight to the Creator of the universe in our prayers because of the work of what Jesus did. And so that when we hear bells, we can know during this season that there no longer is this obstacle between us and God. We don't even need an intermediary between us and God because of what happened on Christmas and when Jesus came. So I don't know, at Crossroads we have people all over the board as far as where they are in their spiritual journey, and that's what we've designed it for. So not everybody in here today is sitting here saying, yeah, you know, I consider myself a follower of Christ or I believe what the Bible says, you know. But this is a place for people at every place on their spiritual journey. So what I'd like to open the mics up for is just if there's anything, from a re-gifting standpoint that you kind of realized during this season, or anything just that you're thankful for as you took a look at this Christmas season this year and maybe a new way. This will be our last chance for you to be able to share anything today. And again, come on up while I'm talking. Don't let me stop you. Great. Come on up. And let us know your name.
My name's Taylor McMurray, and this Christmas season, I'm thankful for Jesus Christ and my mommy, who's been helping me through my school year, and also my dad and my stepmom and my baby brother.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Deborah, and I'm here to share on, I think, all of the messages. Our family has worked hard to honor God on a regular basis. But to my husband's credit, at the Christmas holiday, we specifically take time to honor God. He even has us bake a birthday cake for Jesus, which our son reminded me that we did not do this year. So we have to do that. But it's a tradition that we've honored for so long. What happened for us is, in trying to honor the principles that you speak of, we had clashes. I mean, I had to work in the reducing area, and the reclaiming area was so important for me. And what I found was that overall, we experienced stress. And this year, in trying to recognize those principles, I feel like, and I hope our family felt like, we eliminated the stress for the first time. I didn't feel any stress this year. And one of the things I did was focus on one gift for each person rather than the huge spending. And my husband asked me after that service, he said, you know, what are you going to do? And I really thought about it. And what I did was I just shopped for one person a day, got the one gift. But it was a special gift, a thoughtful gift just for that person. But the reclaiming the traditions are very, very important to me. And in having my traditions, I didn't realize I was creating a lot of stress for my husband and my family. And I hope that in the regifting piece, what my husband and my family enjoyed was a release from that expectation that they fulfill my expectations of time with family and their traditions that I've grown up with. And I've given him and our son the opportunity to create traditions that are separate of our own and away from what I have known and wanted everyone to share, but didn't realize that that expectation created more stress than was fair and was necessary. And for the first time, when I let go of that and just honored the tradition as I've known it, I think it benefited my whole family. So I'd like to think that we enjoyed all three principles in one way or another. And I hope that the gift was received on the other end of the release of having that stress and expectation.
Thanks.
Well, my name is Gail, and what I got out of the series was a little bit different. I'm a fairly new Christian, a few years, and one of the things I really wanted from the very beginning was to know God, and I was stuck on that psalm, you know, you have to have clean hands and a pure heart, and that a person with pride won't come before him. And it seemed like no matter what I did, I was always saying something or doing something that made me know that I didn't have that. And I always could see the root of all that was pride. And right before we did this Christmas series, I don't remember the name of it, but it had a lot to do with how imperfect we were, but how God could help us. And in this series, I really got it that you need God, you need Jesus. And I think that I never appreciated Jesus as much as I did this year, because I knew that he came because I needed him, really. I couldn't do it myself. And I got a definition of pride, too, that anybody can have pride. It doesn't matter about your status or your, you know, any quality in yourself or talent. And you see pride in everybody, all levels of life. And the reason for it is really ignorance of who you are.
Thanks. We'll go over here and then we'll go to you.
Hi, my name is Lacey. This year I turned 18, so it kind of thrust me into being an adult. And I didn't ask for any Christmas presents from anyone, which is kind of my way of reducing. But in that, it brought me a lot of more joy from Christmas. And I don't know, I just kind of like to thank God for that, because in not asking for anything, it gave me more time to give. And giving was actually the best Christmas present that I could have got this year. So I like that.
Thanks.
My name's Grace, and I gave away some of my toys that I didn't even play with, and the little children who didn't even have Christmas and who didn't have even toys or food and no parents, and I gave away all my toys that I didn't play with.
That's awesome, Grace. Not only that you did that, but that you would come up here and tell us all about it. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Kim. I work in First Impressions here, which, for those of you who don't know what that is the ushers, the greeters, the parking, the coffee people. And one of the things just that struck me this year is that, kind of behind the scenes, at Crossroads here, in order to operate a service here, we need between 20 and 40 people in First Impressions. So you can imagine what our first initial reaction to having six Christmas Eve services was. We have real services.
Six not so big Christmas.
Yeah, well, we really thought in our servant's heart, whose big freaking idea was this? But anyway.
We often have that reaction around here.
So we worked all through December to our sign-up list, and we got everybody in place. So comes Christmas Eve. And I know there's a lot of different people in here who work different services, and we didn't all sign up for all the people who work different services on Sundays and midweek all signed up for different services with people that they've never worked with before. But it was an incredible experience. What happened was, you've heard us talk about community so much, kind of bam, 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 community. That's, you know, one of our goals here. But what happened during that service is those people gelled together so much. What they wanted more than anything was for people to come in here and love it, to know the feeling and to love it. And that happened. So that's mine. Yeah.
My name's Mike Myung. I wanted to say something about reducing first, and that is that this year I reduced quite a bit of the stress and strain of Christmas, but not all the stress went away because people had expectations of me, and I'm still trying to deal with that. We reduced the number of gifts because we went with one big gift, and there was still this emptiness feeling behind me at the end of it all. In fact, as we were driving back, I was listening. I was all alone in the driver's seat. Everybody else, of course, was sawing logs, you know. And I found that I was scanning the radio, and when I came upon a radio station that was playing the Christmas carols, that was something I'd been missing. And I realized in years past, every Christmas, I had gone to, like, the midnight mass and listened to Christmas carols. And here it was, I hadn't had that this season. And so I found that I still needed that. So you can reduce. It might come back, and you can then re-add it again later. But it's just kind of a tough season. It is a season of confusion. So just stay with it. It's not always easy to do these things. Right. And it's a growing process, I feel. So good luck to all of you. I'm still growing myself.
Thanks.
Hi, my name is Kayana Long, and I actually kind of have a praise happy thing. My mother-in-law hadn't been to church in, like, I don't know how many years, but this Christmas, because of the reduction in our family and people not coming on Christmas Eve to wrap presents and do all that, she went to church this Christmas Eve, and my aunt was telling me, and it just blessed my heart because she hasn't been in, like, 10 or 15 years. So because of our reduction, for whatever reason, my mother-in-law went to church this Christmas. So that's my praise.
Wow, thanks.
I don't know, for Christmas, it was a small thing that happened for me that gave me clarity, and it was on this pillow. It says, when you feed your faith, your doubt will starve.
Thanks. Thanks, Jennifer.
Hi, my name is Nikki Walls. I'm from Nevada. This is the second time I've been here. And for years, I've wanted to connect with God and have that spiritual feeling because my grandmother has that. And for years, I've wanted to have the same feeling. And I came here Christmas Eve, and I was like, oh, okay, new church, whatnot. And I actually started to cry because I got so emotional because church is awesome. It changed.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name's Kirsten Kinney, and when I came here to the New Year or the Christmas Eve service, that touched me too a lot. I thought that was really awesome, like when it snowed and everything. But I have something to say about reclaiming. Like, when I grew up, I was pretty darn atheist. Like, I did not believe in God at all. But when I got into high school, some of my friends started becoming more religious, and I thought it was so cool. Like, they were so much more happy and everything. And so I started to come here with one of my friends, and it was really cool, and I started growing a little bit. But, like, I would learn, like, a really cool message in here, and I would walk out like, wait a sec, what did I just learn? Like, it was like God was in here, but he wasn't anywhere else. And then when Brian talked about, like, all the things with, like, candles and Christmas lights and what they really mean, it like kind of brought God into my life, like everywhere. Like every time I was like in the mall and I heard Christmas carols or Saul Reed's or something, I was like, oh, there's God, you know, like it was really cool. And like, that just really helped to bring God into my whole entire life. And I thought that was cool.
Thanks. Yeah. And those of you, those of you that found meaning in World Wrestling's Christmas Smackdown in Baghdad on Christmas, if you could just pass that on to me, because I couldn't quite make the connection of Stone Cold Steve Austin in a Santa Claus outfit, but maybe you found some. Please, and share your name, please.
My name is not important. Well, anyway. All right, the most important thing, besides the Christmas and the gifts, my friend was off to war. It really meant something to actually have people actually give a damn about this damn country. I mean, honestly, he's going to go to the grave for this country. And it seemed like everyone was just oblivious. I've also had some supernatural stuff, which I will not do because you'll probably think I'm so crazy. But, God, I don't know if it's an angel or whatever, but it spooked the hell out of me. And I still got some relatives. Whatever. Bye.
And you know what I'd say? We don't always figure out what's going on in us, you know, at any given time. I do appreciate you just wanting to share that, you know, kind of where you are in our journey. We're at all different places on our spiritual journeys in here. Crossroads needs to be a safe place for us to explore that. Please, come on up.
I'm Susan Hawkins, and I'm glad to be back at Crossroads. I had a hip replacement, and I almost died of a blood clot. And I first came to Crossroads because I work for a group home, and I brought them here because it was easy access. And I've never been able to stop coming since. And one of the residents said to me, what he wanted more than anything was to be able to stand up there with the Crossroads band. And all of the residents from our home, we've got several group homes coming now, and they do not want to miss a Sunday. And that has meant more to me. Of course, I thought I would change their life, and hopefully I have, but they have changed mine. And with my children, I decided that in order to reduce Christmas, I said to them, please do not buy me a present. I want you to go out and do something special for someone else, which it turned out that the 4 out of the 5 did that, and it meant meaning to them too. And I started to have all my teenage grandchildren, all the traditional things I had done, which I know that they loved. I started teaching all of them different traditional things that they would be responsible for, and to make them a part, to still have a part of that tradition, but not make it all grandma. So anyway, those were ways of reducing my Christmas. But in particular, I would like to thank Lana and Jeff Perry and their daughter, because I first came here, I'd never met them before, and today Jeff's out in the parking lot parking people, Lana and her daughter at the door greeting people. And it wasn't a Sunday that they didn't, whether we came to one service or not, that they didn't help get coffee or help seat or show love and kindness to us. And that meant, that was my Christmas. That's made my whole year.
Yeah. Thank you. Come on up here. You know what? And just in the interest of time, we'll do you two. And are you up here? We'll do us three. You know what? I do want to say one thing there of something really cool has happened in about the last 2 or 3 years at Crossroads. When we started out, we were primarily, almost everybody was in their late 20s or somewhere around 30 or so. And God has done a really cool thing where he's brought more people at the age of grandparents and stuff here. And there's a really neat depth to our learning that's really changing. Because of that, you know, we're still doing things in the same way, but because we have a better mix, both demographically, age-wise, everything, there's a really cool thing God's doing there. And I've been really touched by the number of grandparents that have shared during these services and ways that they are helping lead their families through what's going on here. So thank you. That was really cool.
My name is Jen Hood, and I just wanted to share with you, I'm an American Heritage Girls troop leader, and we came to the service a couple weeks ago, another troop leader and myself, and it was the one with the bells. And that really struck a chord in us, and we thought, this is something so awesome that we can share with our girls. Some of our girls go to church, some of them don't, and something that we try to do through that organization is just share that with them. And so what we've done is we got little jingle bells in a little box, and we put a little tag on it that just talks about some of the things that Brian talked about a couple weeks ago with that. And so that's something that we're going to do for them after Christmas, and we just wanted to share that with you.
That's cool. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Lori Eads, and I'm rescuing Brian from having someone come up right next to him because he's about to crawl up on the stage.
I'm used to the groupies rushing the stage, so we have security in place.
Well, this is kind of a combination because the re-gifting is so evident in my life as a young mom. I have four boys who are seven and under, and I'm always thinking, God, how can I give to them earlier than I received it the truth about loving you and having you be in my life in a real ongoing way? And this Christmas, I had just read an article that talked about how a family was really changing their Christmas decorations. And I grew up in a place where my Christmas tree was just such a, you know, sweet place in my own heart and was full of elves and Santas and all kinds of things that are just sweet in and of themselves and meant a lot to my family, but really didn't remind us of Jesus. And so my husband and I had talked about how are we going to, you know, get Christmas decorations that remind us of Jesus. And if we take everything off that doesn't, that'll leave us probably three ornaments on our tree. And that just wasn't my picture. And when we came, he's persistent. When we came and Brian was talking about reclaiming, we just kind of took our whole tradition of having our Christmas tree to a new level, I think, in talking about even the colors as we brought the tree and we went and cut down a Christmas tree for the first time. And we talked about Jesus being a carpenter and wood being so important in his life. And as we brought the tree into the house, we talked about something alive coming into our home like Jesus has come into our hearts. And we strung little raffia to represent the straw on the tree, and we'd not done that before, and we had red beads, and on we talked about Jesus' blood and about life and how God gave his son to give us life. And I was so thrilled a few days after Christmas to put a little sweatsuit on my three-year-old and have him say, look, Mommy, there's green for life, and here's Jesus' blood, because there was red. So somehow I think as we're just growing in this ourselves, we'll learn that the symbols can be translated, and it can be more than just the pretty thing that I grew up with. And we'll take those ornaments and make them fun toys, but we hope to kind of continue to simplify in a way that directs us to remembering Jesus.
Thanks.
My name is also Susan, and I was thinking from the beginning of coming up, and I didn't until the other Susan came up. And some of you may be surprised, but I am a grandparent. My daughter's going to have her second child, and I am a foster mother and a parent of two children. And the reason I'm telling you that, I was unemployed 2 years ago, and two Christmases, I couldn't buy very much, and I was going back to school. And this Christmas, so somebody will be relieved, I did not cut back on Christmas. And my granddaughter and foster daughter got more than they usually do, and they also got new leather jackets and things like that. So I didn't cut back there, but it was my expectations on everybody else. My birthday is a week before Christmas, and you always get, you know, ignored and left out. And I had expectations every year, and about 4 or 5 years ago, I started saying, I'm not really missing out. Everybody's celebrating around my birthday, but I was still rationalizing it. And this year, that's where I let go of, I had no expectations. I even went to the point that I even bought myself a gift in the past so I wouldn't be forgotten. And I didn't buy myself any gifts, and I didn't have any bad feelings about that. And so also on Christmas Eve, my kids, one drives 4 hours from Indiana and one from the Great Lakes. And I expected them to go to church with me when they got there, and I'd be disappointed. And I didn't go to church this year, so that was where I let go.
Thanks.
My name is Eddie Patakis, and I am a Jewish person who believes that Jesus is the Messiah. God promised the Israelites 4,000 years ago through the prophets that he would send a Messiah, and after studying the Old Testament, Jesus fits the bill. So I did marry a Christian man, and we both got saved 17 years ago. And, of course, I did not grow up having a Christmas tree or decorating the house for Christmas with lights and, you know, garland and all the things that are pretty traditional for Christmas. And so my husband did, and it was a very big part of his growing up years. They made a really big deal out of having lots of decorations and big Christmas trees and stuff. And so, again, I just had a menorah and, you know, Happy Hanukkah and the 8 presents that we got. And so I really struggled, even though, again, we believed the same thing. I still maintain my Jewish identity. And so we always put up a Christmas tree and celebrated Hanukkah, but in my heart, I felt like, ooh, this is not a good thing to do. Jewish people don't put up Christmas trees, and, you know, it wasn't a comfortable thing to do. And this year, I just really went to the Lord, and I said, you know, God, you know how comfortable I have been all of these years putting up a Christmas tree. And, of course, we have 4 children who are used to a Christmas tree. However, they're being brought up as Jewish believers. And I, again, was struggling and struggling and struggling. And finally, I kind of heard the Lord say, you know what? It really doesn't matter. Ultimately, this has nothing to do with Christmas. It doesn't really have anything to do with Jesus, the Messiah or Savior. And because this is so very important to Bill, my husband, it's okay that you're doing this. I don't hold it against you as a Jewish person that you're putting up a Christmas tree. And that kind of freed me to say, okay, so we actually had 2 Christmas trees this year, one in our living room and one in our dining room, and we decorated one in Israeli colors to symbolize Israel, and the other one we decorated with all of our kids' ornaments, and I kind of felt good about that. So, and the other thing is we did, instead of making, whereas before my husband would have done what he had traditionally done with his family, we kind of focused on snowman, and so we have this really cute snowman nativity scene, and that was real comfortable for me. It's not your traditional Christian nativity scene, and so because all of my siblings and my mother, my father is deceased, but my, you know, they are very uncomfortable with my beliefs. They don't understand how I can believe in Jesus and still be Jewish. Having that little snowman nativity scene is acceptable to them because it's not offensive. So we have kind of worked things out, and this year I felt really good about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Byron. I wanted to share an activity we did this year in my family that's, for the second year, is kind of becoming a tradition. We have 5 children, 12, 10, and 6-year-old triplets. And
wow. Do you want to take a nap right now? Because we can.
We're in the side room, so don't worry. Last year, my wife arranged for all the children to buy each other gifts. And it worked well last year, and we tried it again this year, and it's sort of become a pattern. The way it works is, it's a $5 limit for each child to buy for his or her siblings. And we all go, we kind of split into 2 groups, and we go to one store, like a Target, or this year we went to Target and Myers. And you go through the store, and you got $5 to spend on each sibling. And what's been amazing about it is 2 things, really. One is the gifts they buy for one another, which is, they're so insightful and creative. An example, my 10-year-old son bought for his older sister. First of all, the idea of him buying something for his older sister is amazing in itself, because they're constantly at war. But he bought her a 2-liter Coke. Well, first of all, he found this Coke glass. So he bought that for like a dollar, a 2-liter Coke, and a box of hot and spicy Cheez-Its. And And she's always complaining that, oh, you know, you guys never give me a break. You ask me for everything. I can't have anything of my own, yada, yada, yada. So he bought it for her and gave it to her with a promise that no one would ask her for any of it. And she didn't have to share it. And the glass no one else could use. It was sort of like, the other thing that's been is amazing is on Christmas morning we're opening gifts. Those are the gifts that they really run to open those. And they're everyone's praising, oh, this is a great gift. And it's really become just a special part of Christmas for us. I hope we can keep it at that $5 limit.
Thanks.
That's cool, man. Thanks.
Hi, my name is John. This is my daughter, Caitlin. This is, I think this is a thank you, and it's also a tradition. We were up in Wapakoneta, Ohio yesterday. It's about 2 or 3 hours away north, and we were at my sister's for Christmas. And then Caitlin and I got in the car, and we drove to Richmond, Indiana, which was a couple hours, I guess, west. And we went to a family Christmas ornament exchange that we do every year, and this one was a special one. Because my aunt was in from Arizona, and she's suffering from cancer. For many months, they thought it was desert fever. And she kept getting checked out through 5 different doctors. And they found cancer in her lungs, and it spread to her brain. And she has a surgery on the 31st of December. I knew about this before we went to Richmond. And I knew it was going to be a special Christmas ornament exchange. And I went there kind of to lend an ear and be there for my aunt. And it's funny how God works, because I think it turned around on me, because she was very peaceful. She had a peaceful heart. She must have gave me 15 different compliments. And I just looked at her, and she's my godparent. And we just have this connection. We always had this connection. And we sat there. And I held my tears in the whole time, trying to be strong for her. And as I left, Caitlin and I had to drive back 2 hours last night. I was crying, and Caitlin was responding to my tears in the car. And I just thought to myself, I'm just so thankful for everything that God has given me in my life and this beautiful little girl. And I think my son is here today, too. She had so much peace in her heart, and she was okay, and she made comments that God's going to heal her and that I should come out and bring the kids and see her in the spring. So I'm very thankful for my aunt. I'm really thankful for God. And is my son here right now, William? Is he here right now? He may be. He was in Utah for a whole week. And the ornament exchange, my aunt got the angel. I took an angel, which was a ball, glass ball. And you know how these ornament exchanges go, people take from each other. And she got the ornament, the angel that Caitlin and I picked out for her. So I'm just very thankful for everything this Christmas. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim. Okay. Go ahead. Okay.
I've only been here probably 10 times or so. And I just want to note you know that you all have regifted in a way that I hope you will always be able to see. You've helped me and people that I know remember parts of my life that were so hard to deal with that I just wanted to forget. And coming here, it's been one of the first places I've really been able to release for about 5 years, and it is a great, great experience. And I want you to all know that the providence that he has created, you have been a part of, and I just want to say thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Karen. You have to bear with me. I'm losing my voice, but I became a Christian when I was 5, and my father was a minister. And I have 4 brothers, and we all grew up very active in our church and in a Christian home, and things have changed over the years, and you'll have to bear with me. I'm sad, so I cry at everything. But of my brothers, it's a very chauvinistic household. 2.5 are very chauvinistic. and expect me to wait on them hand and foot. And over the years, when I got older, I was like, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. So 1.5 get waited on, the other 2.5 don't. But they all, none of my brothers are Christians today. And two of my sisters-in-law are, two are not. And about 20 years ago, my relationship with my father fell apart. And 15 years ago, our whole family relationship started falling apart. And every year at holiday time, we all try to find excuses not to go home to be with the family. And then there are a few of us that have bonds within the family still that we're like, you know, I'll go if you go. And that's the only way I'm going. And for me, the last several years, Jesus Christ became very irrelevant to my spirituality. I still believed in God, but Jesus was not a factor. And there's been a lot of things happen this year in my life. And to cut to the chase, in September, I accepted Christ again in my life. And so many amazing things have been happening in my life and the lives of my family members and my friends. And this was the first Christmas, actually, that everyone wanted to be home together again. So much so, my parents lived 10 minutes from me that I actually packed up and stayed with them for a while. And I think it freaked my whole family out when I came with luggage. But it was just really a wonderful time, and it was so amazing. And we decided, 15 years ago, I kept trying to get them all to bag the gifts. And that kind of put my one brother in a turmoil because he lives for gifts. And this year, we all decided to buy for our parents and the grandkids and just for each other, just to do a little $10 swap thing. It was the most wonderful time that I have had in years with my family. And when everyone else had left and I was there with my parents, you know, I told my parents that back in September I wrote my testimony and I blasted out to my entire address book and email. And the hardest people to send it to were my brothers and my sisters-in-law and, of course, my best friends. And it's amazing how I can send it to strangers. I can't send it to the people closest to me. But none of my brothers said anything to me about it. And I mentioned that to my dad, and he's like, oh, Karen. He said, they're all talking about it. He said, they're just not on a spiritual path again, so they don't know how to approach it with you, but they're talking about it amongst themselves. And he said, my one sister-in-law, who isn't a Christian, after Thanksgiving, when I left and went home, said that she's never seen me so happy in the whole 12 years she's known me. And I just thank him for that. And my one brother, who it's always been a difficult relationship with, the most chauvinistic of them all, just always teases me whenever I'm around and says, go get me a glass of tea, or go get me this, or go get me that, and I just blow him off. And he started that, go get me a glass of milk, and I just blew him off. And finally, I just got up and walked out of the room, and I know the whole family thought that I was just blowing him off. And I went and I got this antique crystal goblet, and I poured milk into it, and I took it in and gave it to him. He actually got down and kissed my hand, which our family are clowns, but that was like a moment for this guy. And for me. So I just wanted to thank him for that and for everything he's done to my family.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jerry. I've got an interesting kind of regifting story. I was not here last week for the regifting. My mother passed away earlier this month, about 2 weeks ago. But the point I felt like sharing is that the importance of generational regifting. My grandmother was a devout Christian. My mother was a wonderful Christian. And those gifts that you pass down to your children, and those of you who have not had the opportunity of generational regifting, which was a gift that I received and a wonderful treasure, the beauty of seeing it generationally is such a wonderful thing. And so I just want to encourage those of you who may not have had generational regifting as it relates to the gift of Christ and what it means in a true form of sharing of Christ in a daily life. I want to encourage you that the power of it, the beauty of it, and those of you who are struggling with that, as you pass it down to your children, it becomes very real, very powerful, and very magnificent in their lives. So I want to encourage generational regifting.
Thanks, Jerry. Well, if you'd stand with me. You know, it's interesting. Whenever we open up time for sharing here, particularly around the season, one of the things that comes up is that this time of year is not always the time of picture perfect happy endings for people in a lot of ways. And the Christmas season often can dredge up a lot of the baggage that we have and a lot of the disappointment that we have. And it's interesting, as she noted over here, to lay that versus the original Christmas story, and that Bethlehem was not a place, Currier and Ives picture. It was not a Norman Rockwell postcard kind of thing. Bethlehem was a place of disappointment for an awful lot of people. But also it was a place of great hope, and that the hope of the world that came through that baby. And so as we look now, as this is the last time we will be together as a community in this year, I want to look forward to 2004 and let you know that if you sit in here today and you didn't want to come up and share because this season has been a time of pain for you, or this year has maybe been one you don't necessarily want to reflect on, you want to get on with things, that you are not alone. And 2004 can represent a new year of hope for you and the hope of God working through you as you, wherever you find your place on your journey in here. At the Christmas Eve service, at one point, Brian talked about the prayer shawl that rabbis have been using for generations and generations. Before even the time of Christ, that this was part of what the priests would use and that the rabbis still use today. And what they would do is often wrap this shawl around them when they were performing their acts of service for the congregation. And then on the end of it, there are these things they call tzitzis, and they are these little knotted cords that come down from here, and that all of them have meaning. And that as the rabbis would walk and pray for those that they had charge over, they would be reminded of God's blessings and the things that they were to pray for. So I thought what we would do, when we close out this year as we go into the next year, is that I would offer one of those blessings for all of you. There's a place in the Old Testament of the Bible in Numbers where God tells Moses, and he says, this is how you are to send people out with this blessing. And so that's what we're going to close out this year with and start our new year. Some people call this Baroka. As the rabbi would raise his arms up, the shawl would often make the appearance of wings, as Brian talked about. And there's this imagery over and over in the Bible of there being healing in God's wings, there being protection, there being care, there being guidance as we fall under the wings of our Creator. And even that song that we sang earlier, Hark the Heralds, Angels Sing, it has that line that says there's healing in His wings. It was very clearly, it was the visual metaphor of the rabbi's arms extended in these wings, that there is healing, that there's protection, that there is guidance, and there is hope in these wings. And it's that hope that comes out in this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. And in 2004, bring you peace. The Lord be gracious to you. And in this new year, the Lord make His path out before you and give you peace. And give you peace forever. Amen. Have a great weekend and a wonderful new year.